Hello.
Hey, bud.
How are we?
You know, we're here.
We're here.
We're here. How are
Welcome.
you?
I'm good. Welcome back to In Phase, everybody, the Cycle Syncing Podcast.
The community, a space, and a podcast where we are passionate about all the different phases of women's bodies, cycles, and lives.
And lives. Okay, so for real though, how are you? Because we're going to do a little thing here where I'm going to ask how you are. You tell me. Give me a headline. Give me a couple bullets. And I'm going to see if I can guess what phase you're in
Okay, great.
of your cycle.
Great. Okay, I'm feeling. Okay, there's two words, I
Okay.
guess, to fully like encapsulate how I'm feeling. One, tired. Two, existential.
Tired and existential. See, I. Give me a couple more words because I think that could apply to either menstrual or luteal, for me at least. Because I get most existential when I'm in my luteal phase. I'm like, I'm packing up, I'm shipping out, you'll never see me again.
For sure. No, you're right. Yeah, I'm feeling a little existential in that I guess I'm just sort of like feeling like I'm feeling like new chapters are starting. And so I'm feeling like, how do I want to approach this next chapter? I'm feeling that pretty deeply right now.
Okay.
So I think that is making me feel like mentally tired, but I think I'm also just like honestly, just physically pretty tired today. Otherwise, pretty good.
Okay.
I'm feeling like equipped, if that makes sense.
Equipped. Then I think you're in your menstrual cycle because I do not feel equipped when I'm in my luteal phase. I feel like everything is falling down around me and there is no way out.
No, that you're right. I'm in my menstrual phase,
Bow, bow,
which is great guess. And also kind of wild because I'm actually only 3 months postpartum.
bow. Okay.
And on average, most people don't get their periods if they're breastfeeding like regularly. They don't get their periods until like 9 to 10 months
Whoa.
postpartum or after they stop breastfeeding. So the fact that I'm like one of the, I guess, it's not normal, but it's not common to get your period this early on.
All right, what I will say to you is this, as someone who I know wants to be the best, way to go at getting your period earlier than everyone else. You are the
I beat
best.
him. I beat them all.
You are the best period haver. You're the best period haver while still breastfeeding. 7 months early, baby.
It's so funny because when I got it, I was like freaking out because I was like, what is all this blood? It can't be a period.
Oh,
So I
really?
called my doctor.
You're like, I need to put my diapers back on. What's going
Yeah.
on?
Well, also, I went to the chiropractor and
Okay, we need to talk about that because I've been seeing like 17 chiropractors lately and I need a reco,
Really?
but
Oh,
continue.
I found a great one.
Oh.
But yeah, so I went to the chiropractor, which was so great. And
Do you
then,
think they cracked it out of you?
dude, I had the thought where I was like, did they bust me from the inside? I was like, did they break me? I was like, what? I was like, oh my God, should I have not gone to the chiropractor this soon after postpartum?
You're like, they ripped open my first degree tear.
I was like, I'm gonna call my doctor. She's gonna be like, Lauren, that's the one thing I told you not to do.
Did she really say don't do it?
No, you can totally go to the
Oh,
chiropractor.
I was like, huh.
I just was like bleeding, so I thought something went wrong. I was like,
Yeah.
did an adjustment go crazy? Because I went to a new chiropractor.
Okay.
Turns out it was just my period. At first, I was like so bummed because I just remember like, I was like, oh my gosh, it's kind of cool to like not have to bust out my menstrual cup every month. So at first, I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this.
A bit freeing.
But then the next day, I was like, maybe this means my hormones are doing an amazing thing if they're
Yeah.
already resetting.
The strongest, most stable hormones that have ever existed in a woman's body are in your body. You're the best hormone haver. Lauren's the most competitive person on the planet, and she looks at everything as a challenge to herself. So if you guys tuned in last week, she was talking about her journey to breastfeeding, and she said that she challenged herself to be the best breastfeeder there ever was, which is an insane thing to do, and don't do that because you're only setting yourself up for
For
crazy disappointment.
failure.
It's outside of your control. But I have to commend you and give you props here. Way to go at getting your period.
Thank you. And I appreciate you as a friend, Robin, for knowing what really motivates me and how I feel seen and heard. And really approaching the sort of competitive Coach Robin perspective it's really speaking to me
Go,
deeply.
go,
So yeah, so that's my fun thing is that it's actually kind of interesting too because I'm like, oh, we're doing this podcast about cycle syncing. I can't really cycle sync. I haven't been able to because
Yes.
I've been pregnant/postpartum. And now I'm like, guess I can again.
Welcome.
Sooner than later, which is kind of badass because I love cycle syncing. And so here we are.
And I do too. And that's why we're here today with In Phase, the Cycle Syncing podcast. The universe knew that you needed to get back on the train to help this pod take off.
It really did.
I needed someone to bounce this off of and to start this fun new segment of how are you? Let's guess what phase you're in.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of, Robin, how are you?
Okay. I will answer this a little bit differently. And I will tell you what I've been up to this week.
Okay.
And a little bit of my mental state.
Okay.
You know?
Great.
So this week, every night after work, I come home. I potentially maybe kiss Harrison on the mouth, then go upstairs and say, I'm going to be here alone for the next 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be watching episodes of Vanderpump Rules that I've seen 17 times.
Yep.
I'm going to light candles. The light is going to be low. It's going to be quiet. I don't want you to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, but I don't want you to talk to me alone. Like 3 days in a row this week, just watching multiple hours of TV that I've seen several times.
Yeah.
And then today, I cried on my way home in the car. Nothing bad happened to me today.
Yeah.
I just cried.
Sad too.
Best place to cry is in traffic.
Indeed.
I wanted to continue and perpetuate that story that I tell myself every time I'm crying. So cried on my way home. Only want to spend time alone. Slow and low and a little melancholy.
Okay. Are you in your luteal?
Ding, 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 ding.
Luteal. I was going to say luteal or menstrual, but there's something about this sort of like aloneness and I typically cry 2 days before I have a period.
Yes.
So that was making me think.
Yep. Exactly.
Luteal.
And also when you said that you felt like you were like starting something new with menstruating, like that is something that I feel is singular to that phase, at least for me. And clearly for you, I don't feel like I'm starting something new when I'm in my luteal phase. I feel just like I'm like headed downwards a little bit. And not necessarily in a bad way, but it's not a time when I'm like feeling like incredibly optimistic and forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like to like sink into myself and my feelings. And one thing I love, and we're going to talk about all of the phases today, but since starting cycle syncing, I actually embrace my luteal phase more than any other phase because if you know what's going on and you know how you're feeling and why you're feeling the way you are, it's an opportunity to embrace just feeling low and being low energy, like low on the emotional, like vibration realm, and also crying.
I love that so much, like especially as like a really deeply identifying emo kid who just has like a really strong sense of sadness within me that it just is part of who I am. There's something so beautiful about just like saying to like embrace the low and embrace this feeling because it's going to exist. And it actually is really beautiful if you choose to look at it that way.
Absolutely. And as a Scorpio woman who just sits and ruminates on existential death, transformation, and darkness all the time, I'm like, I should live in luteal.
Yeah.
I'm like, luteal is like the Wednesday Addams of the cycle syncing realm.
I was going to say, the name of your memoir is going to be Living in Luteal.
Living in Luteal. A Scorpio woman who likes to cry, but only in private.
Only in private.
Yes.
No, there really is. Yeah, you're right. I love the idea of like, embrace it. It's beautiful. Just own it.
100%.
How nice to have a time where it's just like okay to be sad.
It's totally okay. And it's never, now it's not confusing for me anymore. Now that I do cycle sync. So not rigorously, but I will say intentionally, which I think is important. I want to talk about that today too. It's like, you don't need to dive in and cycle sync your nutrition, your work style, your meetings, your social circle, and your workouts all at the same time. Like you and I both have like dived into this with different degrees of ferocity at different times.
Yeah.
And sometimes like a toe dip is great, but one of the things that it's taught me that I value so much about it is just the grace that it gives me to exist in the body and in the phase that I'm in that moment.
Yeah.
Whereas pre me learning about cycle syncing, when I was in my luteal phase, I would beat the shit out of myself emotionally and mentally, be like, why are you so tired? Why can't you get up and go to this workout? Why are you so sad?
Yes.
Like, you're lazy. Nothing's wrong. What's wrong with you?
I did the same thing. I was like berating myself.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'm not motivated. I can't do it. I was so good last week. What happened to me now?
Exactly.
Versus like, oh, my hormones are like literally telling me to feel this way.
100%.
And that's okay.
And also like, I would rather eat my hair than weigh myself during my luteal phase, which like I used to do to like keep track and make sure I was like on the right path, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like I mean, I think that we've all gone through like different phases of like weighing yourself too much, but like I won't even get near a scale during my luteal phase. No. Like you know how bloated you are. You're putting on potentially 1 to 5 pounds of water weight during every luteal cycle that eventually sheds itself during menstrual phase. But like, be nice to yourself.
Yes.
Rest, be okay with eating more. Like,
yep.
And we'll get into all this. Today's episode is an overview of the four menstrual cycles, kind of cycle syncing 101, understanding the four phases of your cycle for better living, baby. So for those of you who don't know what cycle syncing is, you're in the right place because it is our goal to make this part of the general lexicon of society and culture right now. And more women need to know what it is. So if you're new, fear not. We just were introduced to this within the past few years and it has changed our lives. It's a lifestyle practice for aligning your nutrition, workouts, work tasks, and social plans, and a lot of other things, essentially every aspect of your life, with the four hormonal phases of your menstrual cycle. And for those of you who don't know, there are four phases to your menstrual cycle: menstrual, ovulatory, follicular, and luteal. You go through these every single month. You rotate in and out of them like clockwork, unless you are pregnant. And with each phase is a different level of hormones that affect the way you feel, the way you eat, the way you work out, the way you work, the way you have sex, everything. So Lauren and I discovered this a few years ago and realized we both had this wild passion for it because it felt like a secret that no one had told us about, in a way to biohack our bodies, essentially to become superwomen, as opposed to falling victim to different hormonal fluctuations and being confused as to why we were tired sometimes and feeling energized the next, or sad one day and feeling excited the next. So we're here to talk about what these four phases are and how you can live better during each one of them to kind of optimize who you are as a person.
Yeah. So we'll basically go through each phase, talk about what's happening, talk about what's happening within our bodies, how we can just try to adjust certain aspects of our lives to try to embrace those moments. And again, also, we're not experts. We're just big fans of this.
Yes.
So we're sharing what we've learned. And then hopefully we can also just continue like to make this conversation become more of an actual like day to day. Because for me, I only knew about the menstrual phase.
Yes.
When it came to the menstrual cycle in general. So we'll dive into the rest of them too.
And I think, just as a side note, as we're going into this, one thing to note is that this world was built for men. It was built for men by men. And something to keep in mind is that men's hormonal levels throughout the month are 100% steady, mm-hmm. whereas ours are dependent on a 21 to 28 day cycle for the most part. So this is also an act of rebellion for us as women to take control over like how we can build this world to be a better place for women by women, because mm-hmm. your hormonal cycle affects the way you should work, how you should set meetings in your calendar, like the best time to have sex, the best time to work out, et cetera. And that's something that men don't necessarily have to worry about, but we should to and get to be cognizant of this and have this work to our benefit, as opposed to this being something to fear and be angry about and not know how to work with.
Exactly. I love that.
Let's dive in.
So we'll start out by talking about the menstrual phase, which I feel like is the phase that we talk about kind of the most, but also not really enough if you think about it.
Yep.
But that's the phase that is known as the period. It's the moment when our uterus is shedding its lining. Typically, because that's happening, we're getting contractions. It can feel like cramps. It can feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's usually when our body is then bleeding. It's about 3 to 7 days. A lot of times it can lead to feeling really low energy, can be feeling really tired. But it can also feel like a bit of a reset, which I think is really cool. Back in the day when people were having their period, women would get together and bleed together. It was a sign of resetting together and also being in community. And I think that sort of action of going through this sort of moment together showcases to me what this sort of this part of the cycle is. It's this idea of like, it really is, it feels like embracing womanhood in a way.
100%. Right? It is like an act of community for women. And that sounds crazy, or maybe it doesn't, but like, I feel more like a woman every time I have my period than ever before. And like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I love getting my period. It makes me feel closer to my body. It makes me feel like almost like more organic. And This is going to sound so woo-woo, and we do live in LA, so please forgive us. But it like makes me feel closer to the earth because it is such a natural, it's a natural cycle that is guided by nature and by our hormones and just by what we can't necessarily control. So embracing that and just kind of grounding down and being like, yeah, this is a moment to spiritually and physically, whether you like it or not, identify with womanhood.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, it really is. It's like some of the superpowers, we feel like during this phase, it's such a good time to reset, to think about like, okay, what do I want the future to look like? Like, I think it's interesting. Some people like to choose, like, look at the moon when it comes to sort of resetting or having different milestones or different chapter markers, rather. Or it's like every month is a time to start a new sort of chapter. And there is, like, within our bodies as being women, there's a natural clock. And our hormones are kind of telling us that it's time to reset during this moment, which I think is really beautiful. So that to me is one of like the incredible superpowers of like, how can we use this time when we're menstruating to really sort of be intentional about what we want the next 28 days to look like.
I mean, you're physically shedding your uterine lining. You are wiping the internal physical slate clean.
Yeah.
And you are starting fresh.
Yep.
And that's a really cool thing. So like, we as women get a fresh page of a book or a new chapter every single month. And so if you have trouble identifying with your period, or you have really painful periods, or you dread them every month, or you just hate it, perhaps like just a slight mental shift to see like one positive thing about this is that it's your opportunity for a fresh start. And we're not out here telling everyone that they need to love having their periods. It is so painful for some people. I mean, like myself included, it can be like messy and like tiring and all of these things. And there are some like little magic moments to it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what's important too is having grace for the fact that it can be really painful and be really hard. I think like we know that our body is using a lot of energy when it comes to shedding that lining.
Okay. So Lauren, let's talk about how you might feel during this phase emotionally and physically as well.
Yeah, definitely. So our bodies are doing a lot during this phase. So we typically will feel very low energy, pretty tired. You might be feeling, again, sort of like introspective and sort of thinking about what the new chapter is. Might be feeling a little bit existential in that case, too. But typically, our bodies are doing a lot of work. And so it would make sense if you want to take more naps. It makes sense if you want to sleep more. Like, for instance, I'm right now in my menstrual phase, and I'm exhausted. Took an hour-long nap today. Could have napped longer if I could have.
and you know what? I saw this thing on TikTok recently that was like, did you come from a sleep enthusiastic or a pro sleep family or an anti-sleep family? And it's like, if you call your mom, it's like, I slept till noon today. There's moms that will say, sounds like you really needed it. And there's other moms who'd be like, get up. I can't believe you slept so late. We are a pro sleep family when it comes to our menstrual cycle. Sleep as much as you can. Your body is doing a lot of work. You need to rest and reset. And I love to take my menstrual phase as an opportunity to just embrace rest. Embrace being horizontal, embrace being slow and low, and give yourself all the grace in the world if you are just a tired, tired, tired girl.
Yeah.
And close your little eyes.
And it's a kind of magic to think about, like, once a month, there's time set within our bodies to rest.
Yes, for
you know
stress.
What I mean? Like, honestly, we should be resting all the time, and I highly recommend doing as much as we can. But even if you can't, the idea that like it is built in to have days where we're supposed to rest and recover before we take on the next thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of magic.
What are some of the superpowers of this phase?
So some of the superpowers is the fact that it is sort of a natural reset, which I think when you think about it intellectually, it sets us up to be able to think about what we want the future to look like. It allows us to settle down and sort of think about, okay, what have we been doing? What do we want to be doing? Which I think is really great. So the sort of introspective nature. Yeah, so if you're feeling low energy, it's a really good time to rest. I think another thing you might be feeling, I feel really sensitive during this time. And so it can make me feel sensitive to others, which can be tricky. Like I can sometimes feel like a little bit, just like overly emotional when it comes to other people. But then it also can, I sometimes feel like I'm my most creative during this time because I'm really sensitive.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I feel like I'm sometimes so much more aware of how I'm feeling and letting myself feel things that I typically feel actually like sometimes really creative during this phase, even though I'm tired.
I love that. It's almost like more of a like stronger connection to self because you are going inward that mm-hmm. you can just kind of like sit with yourself and have that process.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Time to write poetry.
Yeah. Straight up.
Journal.
Yeah.
Do the things.
Let's open that Google Doc.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Dangers of this phase.
Yeah.
Or just watch outs.
Yeah. I would say because this is a phase where we can be really tired, I think setting boundaries is really important of like making sure that like not overloading the calendar. Like that's a big one for me is like I can be someone who can overload the calendar not knowing that, okay, I'm making plans for a day that's going to be in the menstrual phase.
I do not make plans for the most part for when I have my period for the first, like at least the first couple days, because I know what those first 2 days are for me, which are fairly painful. I have really bad cramps, and just like there's been times when my cramps have sent me to urgent care. They've been so bad. And so that was actually the catalyst for me finding and diving into cycle syncing, was trying to naturally heal my body and get on a right path where my periods were not something that I dreaded. And like, can I solve this myself, or can I heal my body enough so that every month I'm not dealing with the same like debilitating cramps that have me going into a doctor kind of thing?
Yeah.
And for the most part, or at least like I'm on the right path for that, I definitely don't have pain-free periods. I had one actually a couple, 2 months ago. I had my first pain-free period in like
that.
3 years, and it, or maybe 5 years. And it was amazing. I was just like I was so happy. And I don't know what it was about necessarily. Mm. I wasn't doing anything like crazy different, but it gave me this like really like strong sense of like hope that this is could be my future. Yeah. But the next month I had a very one that you're like in the bath and at like 3 a.m. So we try.
One of the other dangers too, just in general, is the fact that I feel like because of the society that we're in, we're typically being told to just keep going and to always kind of like quote unquote power through. And this is a time where our body is physically going through so much that one of the dangers is that if we refuse to rest or refuse to take this time to like really listen and potentially retreat with an effort to let our bodies reset itself, we can feel it in the next couple of days or couple of weeks. And I know I certainly have if I don't take the time to rest.
I love that so much. If and again, if you take nothing else from the menstrual cycle, everyone take it as your excuse to simply rest. Mm-hmm. And if that's your way of toe dipping into cycle syncing, and if that's one thing that you take away from every single episode of this podcast, I will be a happier woman. Because we as women and as a society are not encouraged to rest, to your point. And as soon as I became aware that this was available to me, I was like, holy shit, I am grounding down into that.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, I think you've said too, the fact that you're so intentional about during this phase, not setting plans, taking time to rest. It's, again, the narrative that we want of the period doesn't have to be just this like annoying, painful thing. Like, it's also like a moment of rest and recovery and reset. Like, that's magic. That's beautiful.
I encourage my friends, because now I've become like the period whisperer for when other friends are like, oh my God, I'm having a really bad period. What should I do? What should I eat? Blah, blah, blah. Which I'm like, oh my God, I am honored. Thank you for coming to me with these questions. I always encourage them, rest, slow down, and nourish yourself and caretake yourself as if you were caretaking a sick friend a little bit. Like, this is the time for like warming, soft, nourishing soups and stews and just slowing down, like having warm tea, like taking warm baths, like this, like take care of yourself during this phase. Yeah. And when I learned that, it became so much less daunting every month, even if I knew I was going to have a couple days of like very painful cramps or aches or being sad. Knowing that it was okay and that I was going to take such good care of myself kind of gave me a peace about it.
I love that. And it used the word that I love, which is nourish. I think that's like the key, right? It's like having those foods that are nourishing, like you said, the things that make you feel comforted, but then also give you the fuel and the energy that you need to potentially recover. And then I think too, in addition to that, knowing that we're losing a lot of blood, whatever we can do to help replenish the iron that we're losing. I know for me, I'm like borderline anemic. So whenever my iron is low, I get really tired and really fatigued. So that's been a helpful thing for me too, is just sort of thinking about, can I have iron rich foods or increase my iron supplements leading up to my period? And that's helped with some of the fatigue too on that front.
What are some iron rich foods that you have? Because I know that you go in and out of vegetarianism as well. Yeah. And were eating meat when you were pregnant, but before that weren't. I have steak on the first day of my period.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
This was a ritual that honestly my partner started for me, because when he learned about my periods and how painful they were, he started researching it himself to see like how he could help with that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want us to have like a counter for all the times Harrison just like crushes it.
The Harrison counter.
Crushes it in the fiancé game.
Yeah, he fucking rocks.
I want a counter. I'm yeah. like, we can't not talk about it. Unbelievable.
He's pretty fucking sick.
He's amazing.
He painted this podcast studio for us. He like left us an inspirational letter on the wall the first time we recorded. Yeah, he gets a steak every month. He like goes to a fancy butcher. That man, when we first moved into this house, he knows that I need like baths. Because I just like need to be in hot water, because my cramps wrap around from my front to my back. Oof. So I can't just have like one heating pack. Yeah. And sometimes it would wake me up at like 4 a.m. And when we first moved in here, our bathtub wasn't getting hot enough because there was an issue with the pipes. That man, and our bathtub is on the second story, he would boil pots of water on the stove and bring them upstairs to fill the bathtub like a pilgrim at 4 a.m. for these baths to help ease my cramps. He rocks.
Oh, Harrison.
I know.
Harrison for president.
Harrison for president.
Oh, my gosh. What a gem. What a gem.
So steak is an excellent thing that will help with iron regeneration in the body. That's a great way to kick off your period. I've heard from some women that that does help ease cramps, that people have started eating steak on the first day of their periods, have experienced less pain habitually as they go on with that kind of little ritual for themselves.
Smart. I love that. Yeah, when I wasn't eating meat, for me, it was typically leaning on greens, like dark leafy greens. So I would do like warm kale, like kale bowls, or beans. I would lean into having some beans too. And then I would literally leading up to my period would double my iron intake.
Smart. And you were doing that in iron with iron supplements, right?
Yeah, that was supplements.
And we'll have another episode where we dive into supplements as well. So don't worry about that. One thing that I would do too for omega-3s, which are helpful, would be salmon bowls as well.
Yeah, yep.
So if you don't eat dark meat, salmon is a really good thing to have right around this time as well to help kind of replenish those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Movement. So
movement.
Here is my hot take about movement during your menstrual cycle.
Let's hear it.
Don't do it.
Stationary, baby.
You want an excuse to be sedentary? You're tired. You want a response to people who are texting me like, do you want to go to Barry's? No.
No.
I have my period. I'm menstruating. I am out of commission. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go slow and low. I might be walking. I might go on a leisurely stroll.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. There's like nothing to prove during the menstrual phase.
Uh-uh.
At all. I think it's like, yeah, exactly that. It's very much, let's keep it chill. I know yoga is a good one to do too. I like yoga because I feel like it makes me feel like I'm also resetting my body. So there's something about like the physical of that ties into the mental of what's happening too.
Yes.
So that's usually one I'll try to do. But otherwise, yeah, it's like there's no hard workouts are happening during the menstrual phase at all. In fact, twice this weekend, because I didn't know I was going to have my period, I had two classes scheduled and I canceled both of them.
Oh, I commend you.
Canceled them both. I was like, I can't be doing that on my first period back from being postpartum.
Absolutely not.
Not a chance.
And honestly, my take is you can't be doing that on your period ever.
Right. Yeah, true.
I go hard. I go hard on the rest during your period. Yeah, like I give me an inch and I will take 73 miles for it.
Yeah.
I have friends who will like go to Barry's and stuff like that. And they'll text me like, oh, I'm going to Barry's. And my response always is like, you better not be menstruating. Do not put your body through that workout. And even on the yoga, do not go to hot yoga. That's incredibly intense.
Like a hot vinyasa or like a sculpt.
No, stay away from sculpt. Like you don't want to be exerting extra energy and effort during this phase more so than you need to, because your body is already doing so much that it's seeking more rest, more water, more nutrients, less movement.
Yep, exactly.
And also, I mean, I found that the less the less I tried to force my body into movement that wasn't good for it during this phase, the healthier I was. Yeah. Like my body was holding on to extra weight because I was trying to shock it into submission.
Totally.
At the same workout all month long.
Yep.
And once I started to realize that, like, oh no, let me go with the flow of my body and my hormones, listen to it and have that guide the movement that I should do every month, I experienced like incredible changes.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. It's like sports recovery.
Yes.
Like the sort of simplicity of like when you work out hard, you have to have time to recover or else you're just going to set yourself up for not being able to be the stronger self. Like that is what this phase is. It is the recovery of the body.
100%. And then working. How would you comment on the working style during your menstrual phase?
Yeah. It's so funny. I feel like for me, this is a time where like I try not to have too many meetings because I'm usually really, really tired because it can be helpful for me when it comes to like I like to reset and sort of think about the future. To me, it's a good time to like organize, to think about like, okay, my month ahead, like what do I want to prioritize? What do I want to get done? But I think especially when it comes to like, yeah, meetings, I try not to do too many meetings. But then also I think just like being aware of the sensitivity that we may have.
Yes.
Because I'm very sensitive. Like when it comes to work conflict or anything like that, I can find myself potentially being like overly reactive or having certain things impact me deeper than they may normally impact me during a different phase. So just keeping top of mind the fact that this is what I'm going through is really helpful during work.
If you can avoid contentious peer-to-peer or peer-to-boss meetings at this time, reviews, if you can avoid creative reviews, if you can avoid getting notes from an editor at this point. And granted, we're hyper aware that we, at this point, hopefully this will change in the future, do not get to dictate our work schedule based on our menstrual phase. But if you do have any autonomy over the way you work and how you set your meetings and your schedules, these are just things to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. I too think like this is a good time for like I work in the film industry, like reading scripts, doing something solitary, like something that requires like only my brain power and kind of like a deeper focus rather than something that's like a bit more of an extroverted task, like a giant meeting where I'm presenting and I'm on display kind of thing. Like that is not my vibe during this week.
Yep, absolutely.
This is one of my favorite metaphors about cycle syncing in general is that we can equate the four cycles to the seasons. So in the same way that the seasons work through the earth to kind of rest, regenerate, come anew, come alive, so do our bodies. So your menstrual cycle is like winter. And if you have trouble keeping in mind like what you should do, just kind of keep that in top of mind. Like what do we do during the winter? Like we eat warming, nourishing foods. We stay inside. We rest. We hibernate. We kind of live with the sun and the moon. So nights are longer. Days are shorter. And it's, again, a forced rest period from the world, from the earth, the same way that we should think about this for our bodies.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, let's talk follicular.
Let's do it.
So we covered menstrual, which is 1 through 5 or 6-ish days of your cycle. It's the start of new. It's winter. Follicular is what we might call the spark. It is spring. Mm-hmm. It is a very fun phase if you want to think about these phases of your cycle being fun. If you guys ever experience like a moment during the month where all of a sudden you wake up and you feel like a brand new bitch, it's the follicular phase. Like
indeed.
When your period is over, you just like wake up one morning and you're like, I'm ready to rock again.
Yeah, you're like, I want to run 8 miles.
100%.
Where did this come from?
There's been mornings where I leave Lauren voice notes. I'm like, I just left a hot yoga class. I feel like I should run for president and I'm going to write a book today. You're in your follicular phase, aren't you? Yes, good. I am. I'm ready to go, baby.
Let's rock.
So in this phase, springtime for the body, for the ladies, for the women, estrogen is rising in your body because it's preparing to release an egg. So that means that your brain chemistry sharpens, your energy increases. And again, you just feel kind of anew, I think, especially comparatively to how you felt during your menstrual cycle, which is, again, slow, low, tired. So I'm always feeling like exuberant during this phase. Mm-hmm. And not always. Like, let me be clear. Your hormonal cycle does not exclusively dictate your mood. And we're not implying that it ever will or should. There's so many other factors to how we're going to feel throughout the day, what's going on in your life, your stress levels, your work, your job, your family, your relationship. However, this is kind of like the underpinning of how you could and should feel aside from all of those other factors.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, energized, optimistic, motivated, and social. This is the fun phase.
This is the fun phase.
This is the fun phase. This is the party phase.
Yep.
I say that this is your planning phase. Again, this is when I plan my presidential campaign. This is when I decide to start a new entrepreneurial venture and I text Lauren about us buying an LLC for God knows what.
Yep, yep.
This is when I dive into my spreadsheets to plan the vacation to Paris that I want to take in a few months and color coordinate it and drive Harrison up the wall with a link with links to thousands of different restaurants. And he's like, I'm working. But like my brain kind of just like jumps starts during this time.
And I think what's cool is it makes sense that this phase comes after menstrual, because if menstrual is a phase where we're thinking about like, okay, what do we want the future to look like? What are we striving for? And then the next phase is like, here's the action to make it happen.
Yes.
Right? It sort of piggybacks off of one another. So it feels like, okay, there is time to sort of like reset. Now let's actually do it and make it happen.
In terms of planning as well, like this is where you want your happy hours and your dates and your nights out and your dinners to land.
Yep.
I think that so often as women, we have these bursts of different energetic moments and feelings where, I don't know about you guys, but I will wake up and be like, oh my God, I have to reach out to this friend and this friend. I haven't talked to Kevin in forever. And I also need to reach out to Rachel and get that dinner on the books. And during a span of like a few days, I have filled up my social calendar for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's me in my follicular phase.
Right.
But the danger, that's a superpower, right? But the danger and downfall of that is that if I am not cognizant about when I'm setting all these plans for, all of a sudden my luteal phase and my menstrual phase rolls around and I have to execute all of the plans that I made in my follicular phase and I'm doomed. Yep. I'm the cancel queen of that moment. I'm like, can't go, can't make it.
Right, right.
So when you feel this overdrive hype of like social optimism and you are trying to make all the plans and really fill up the next month to have it be badass and fun and motivated, keep in mind this feeling could be fleeting. Yes. And when these plans roll around, you might not feel as energized. So just know where the plans fall in your cycle as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a moment again to like have grace for yourself too. Of like, okay, I just can't do the happy hour tonight because I'm in a different phase. And that's okay. Even if you were jazzed about it weeks ago, you can't go. And that it is what it is.
Do you have that too, though? Because it's like, I plan everything in 1 week where all of a sudden, like, the thing.
For sure.
Catching up on all the texts that I missed. Now's my time to organize my email inbox.
Oh, yeah. And then I get so excited. And then as soon as I hit, yeah, for me, it's as soon as I hit my luteal phase, I'm like, I can't talk to anyone. I'm so tired.
Yep.
And then it's like, I'm so sorry. I really did want to hang out with this person. I really, really did.
I really did. But I
physically am incapable of doing it.
No. And I don't want to like cry into my glass of Pinot Noir at the table. And you don't want that either. So like, let's push it by like a good 14 days or
exactly,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. It's this funny sort of like the shift that can happen from menstrual to follicular.
Yep.
It's amazing, but it is sort of, I know for me, it was used to be one of those feelings of like, am I just like completely insane? You know what I mean? I'm like, is there no steady?
No, there is no steady. And honestly, that is a cool thing about it.
Yeah,
it just ride the wave. And I think like when it feels manic sometimes.
Totally.
Because you go to bed tired and you wake up all of a sudden ready to take over the world when you're jumping from menstrual to follicular. And for a lot of people, it is not that stark and many people might not be able to identify with it, or you identify with it on a much smaller scale. And I don't feel this way every single month either, but there are some months when I sense cycle syncing, I'm able to notice it and identify it and be like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
I know what's going on inside my body now.
Yes.
And I know what I can dive into to like optimize it. And like, how do I take advantage of this cycle? Which is at the end of the day, the whole point of cycle syncing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay. So from a nutrition perspective, what are you looking at when it comes to nourishing your body during this phase?
So while going away from the menstrual cycle where you were talking about like warming soups and nourishing foods and iron and steak, this is a time for like fresh foods. Again, we're in spring. So like fresh foods, lean proteins, fermented foods to help with gut health, as that is obviously tied to estrogen levels that are rising in the body right now as well. But anything like fresh, crisp, green. And I'm trying to think, because this is the part that I'm not as well versed in. This, you have been so much better about cycle syncing nutrition to your cycle. So what do you eat during the follicular phase?
For me, because your estrogen is low, it was foods specifically that would help balance estrogen. So some of those foods include like your broccolis, your cauliflower, your cabbage, your kale, your sort of like your veggies that have a lot of heartiness to them. Fermented foods are also a good way to go. So you can have your kombucha, your kimchi, your sauerkraut, and then healthy fats as well are really helpful.
and fiber-rich foods as well.
Yeah.
Which also fall into the category of like lean grains or leafy greens and like broccoli and whatnot.
Yep. And there's also a thing called seeding, which I never got super into, but it's also another aspect of like, it's basically what sort of like seeds do you eat during different types of your phase, during different phases as well to help when it comes to the hormones. And so during this phase, it's flaxseed and pumpkin seeds are supposed to be really good to help when it comes to the hormone levels.
And a lot of some of that is estrogen detox as well, which we can get into on another episode. I'm not well versed enough to talk about it today. But again, we're learners on this path too. And I want to do an episode about seed cycling too.
Yeah.
Seeding, seed cycling, cycle syncing, all the cycles.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole separate entity to add on to cycle syncing, but it's one that I haven't scratched the surface on either.
It's also like one, it's like some people only do seeding.
Yes.
Like nutrition wise, it's like specifically just focusing on seeding.
So that's an option too. And we'll have an episode on that eventually.
Yeah.
In terms of movement, this is a time where you're kind of turning up the volume on your body a little bit. Again, you're springing into motion, into movement. So it's time to start incorporating, like, you can incorporate cardio again. You can go on your longer runs. You can do strength training. You're, like, able to, like, move into the HIIT workouts again. I would say that the ovulation phase is the time when you're, like, at peak fitness, where it's, like, go to berries every day. Like, really take advantage of, like, how great you feel. But when you go into the follicular phase, you're back on the upwards trajectory of being able to push your body a little bit more.
Exactly.
You're out of that rest period and you're ramping up. So I would say don't go crazy, but it's the time where you can start to reintegrate your more intensive workouts back into your routine.
Yeah. And then what does it look like when it comes to working?
This is a time, in my opinion, this is like a brainstorming, a planning, starting to get those meetings back on your schedule. Again, menstrual, a little bit more introverted, solo projects only. This is like opening the doors a little bit to invite a collaboration.
Yeah.
And also like it's a time when, just as your body is waking up, your brain is waking back up and like pouring the gas on that too. So again, like when I say like this is when I want to like create my business plan and blah, blah, blah. Same thing for work. Like plan out like that amazing campaign deck that you were working out. Start plotting out like your next moves for the rollout of X, Y, and Z. I'm only speaking like film industry marketing because that's what I do. And I don't know how other people work, but it's like, yeah, write that lawyer brief and stuff and sign up for the bar.
Do those spreadsheets.
Yeah. Do those spreadsheets.
But yeah. It's like a perfect time for like team brainstorms.
Yes.
Like, I think about that. It's like a great time to like, especially work with people who like you feel comfortable with and really like, tap into everyone's creativity to start thinking about how you could be dreaming big.
Yes. Collaboration. Like this is a time to like, again, like open the doors, get moving with your body and get moving with your social life again too.
Yeah.
And that applies to the workplace as well. It also, funnily enough, applies to fitness. So like the follicular phase is a great time to like get back into your group fitness classes as well. Like there's a sense of like community that I think is helpful at this time. Whereas like you wouldn't have necessarily felt that same way during the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then it kind of gears us up for the next phase.
Ovulatory,
baby.
Let's talk about ovulating. The sexy phase.
This is the very freaky phase.
The freaky phase.
It's the freaky phase. So this is the phase where our body is ovulating. So the definition of ovulation. Ovulation is the process of an ovary releasing a mature egg into the abdominal cavity where it can be picked up by the fallopian tube. It's the time during a menstrual cycle when pregnancy is most likely. The process includes the hormonal changes, your body releases the egg, and usually only one egg is released during this time. So this is the time that I feel like a lot of people who are tracking periods, like for me, when I was really intensely tracking my menstrual cycle, rather, it was tracking to be aware of when I was ovulating. One, because it's a way to ensure that you are, it's a great way for contraception or to decide like when you want to have sex, if you want to have a kid too. It sort of like really helps navigate your sex life. And it's also the time when like you're probably feeling the sexiest because your body is literally preparing to potentially give life.
It's a blessing and a curse, I would say, for women, depending on your form of birth control, because it is the most potent time for pregnancy. So if you are using the withdrawal method or natural planning, just following your cycle, basal body temperature, etc., probably a good time to avoid penetrative sex. And it might be the time when your body wants penetrative sex the most.
Yeah.
It's like, the freaky phase.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like literally the time your body is designed to want to have sex during this time.
The body is like, let's make a baby. And the brain is like, we shouldn't be making a baby. Stay away from me. Yeah,
yeah. Right. So yeah, totally depends on whatever phase of life you're in, which is really fun. But in general too, there's something that kind of ties into this feeling of like being sexy. It's like during this phase, you can feel really confident, feel really sexy, feel really energized. What's really cool is like, for me, I always actually had a hard time sometimes when it came to follicular phase versus ovulatory, because it's a lot of it's kind of similar.
Yes.
And that follicular is kind of like the ramp up to feeling incredible during your ovulatory phase. So it's this feeling of like you can sort of feel like I can take on anything.
Yes.
Which is really exciting.
You're magnetic. You're feeling your hottest. Like there's, I love this TikTok trend of like, this is me in my ovulation phase, and this is me in my luteal phase. And they look like two different women. Like, and this is how I feel too. Like when I'm ovulating, it's like my skin is glowing. My hair looks good. I just like feel hotter. Mm-hmm. I feel more put together. I feel sexy. I feel magnetic. I can walk into any room and own it. And then like cut to like 3 days later in my luteal phase and I'm like wearing a garbage bag at home. I haven't changed in 3 days and like I've got the messiest bun on top of my head. I'm in my luteal phase right now, by the way.
We love it. She looks great. Tell her she looks great.
Tell me. Check this bun, baby.
Well, and I think what you just brought up is important too, because with this particular phase, you're ramping up from follicular. We're also kind of prepping for luteal in a way.
Yes. Right?
So it's this like, you're at your peak, but you also want to kind of keep in mind the fact that luteal is coming. Yep. So you want to make sure you're setting yourself up for success when it comes to that one.
One thing I will say too is that if you're trying to track when you are ovulating with a more kind of like physical distinction, so obviously we have vaginal discharge every day of the month until we die, but that discharge changes depending on where we are in our cycle. Fun fact, if people didn't know that, if you've ever experienced having a discharge that is of more of an egg white consistency, that means that you are likely ovulating or close to ovulation. So that's just like a key marker to pay attention to, especially if you are trying or not trying to get pregnant.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And then in addition to, so again, like your social, you might be feeling more social during your follicular phase, and then it's going to feel like peak social during the ovulatory phase.
Again, talking about seasons, ovulation is summer. It's sexy summer. It's fun social summer. It's the time to be out and about, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yep. Yep. And then when it comes to food and nutrition in general, too, it's like it's similar to follicular where you can be eating foods that are nourishing, that feel really fresh, that give you energy. But I think also because luteal phase is one where we typically start to bloat, it's nice to start eating anti-inflammatory foods to help prep for luteal phase.
Yep.
So thinking about things with a lot of antioxidants just to make sure that, you know, you're keeping your body less inflamed so that you're being set up for the phase that comes after this one.
And then finally, movement.
Movement. Yeah. So this is one where you can do your hardest workout. Run a marathon. I dare you. No, it's like you can take the Barry's class. Do the hardest workout. If you're like, I want to try Bunda, but I'm scared, this is the time to do it. Like, and actually, yes. I would say take the fitness class that you're nervous to try.
Because solid one, core.
You'll feel the most confident in actually taking the class.
Yes.
But then two, you'll actually have the most energy to be able to complete it.
It's a really good hot tip.
Right?
Yeah. Try the new workout class you're afraid of. You've been fearing solid core? Me? Maybe I'll try it when I'm ovulating next month.
Yeah, tis the season.
Tis the season to push yourself and try something that's really, really fucking scary.
Exactly, exactly. And then when it comes to work, like if you have the chance to plan when your big presentation is, plan it during this phase.
Like 100%.
This is like the moment where if you want to make a case for a promotion, if you want to make a case for a raise, if you want to propose a new team, if you want to try to bring on a new client, like you're most likely feeling the most confident. You're feeling the most sexy. You're feeling the most unstoppable.
Oh.
Like this is the time to take that and use it to your advantage.
Amen. Everyone get out there and kill your ovulatory phase, okay? Because next up we have luteal phase. So this is unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you like to approach it, it's the longest period of our cycle, no pun intended. It's around days 17 to 28. It can be a full 2 weeks sometimes, depending on how your body works. Yeah. And just so everyone knows, every woman is different with how many days each phase of her cycle is. Some women have periods that are 4 days. Some women have periods that are 7 days. Some women have longer luteal phases. Some women have shorter luteal phases. My luteal phase is very long. And I have come to fully embrace this phase since starting cycle syncing in a way that I didn't used to before. I think luteal can be deemed as like the terrible phase. It's most associated with PMS. It's when it is when there can be PMS symptoms. And it is the meme of the internet of like, why the fuck am I so mad and crying all the time? Oh, I got my period the next day. Now I know.
Right.
And what I love about cycle syncing is I know what's happening to my body in this phase. And therefore, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. I'm not confused about why I am sad, about why I am sensitive, about why I'm tired, about why I'm hungrier.
Yep.
And I can really take what has thus far been taught to be like a demonic possession of my body and still own it and find a way to make good out of it.
Absolutely. It's like, it's a time to embrace it. Just fully embrace this feeling.
Yes. I'm sad. I'm going to be sad.
Yes. Let me be sad. Let me listen to my emo music. Also, like, I know for me, I'm like an endless pit when it comes to food during this phase. And I love it.
100%.
Give me seconds, give me thirds, give me fourths.
Okay, wait, let's talk about nutrition in a second. First, about what's happening in your actual body. Progesterone rises and estrogen drops. And if there's no pregnancy, hormone levels fall, triggering PMS sometimes towards the end of your luteal phase. Oftentimes people experience PMS, premenstrual syndrome, where you can be more sensitive, you can experience cramping, you can be a little bit more emotional, and just feel things a little bit more deeply. The final few days leading up to your menstrual cycle, so the end of your luteal phase. And it doesn't happen when you're pregnant. Lauren can attest to that.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't.
No luteal phase. So how you might feel emotionally. I am the biggest introvert when I'm in my luteal phase. Just as we talked about in the beginning of this episode, I've come home every night. And even though I have an amazing partner who I don't see during the day because we're both working, I just want to spend time alone. Mm-hmm. I just want to be by myself. I'm not feeling social. I'm not feeling extroverted. And I'm a very extroverted social person generally. So this is like when I know that I'm in my luteal phase and just kind of like, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to go out and force myself to go to dinners and like talk to everybody. I'm just going to go inward. You can possibly be a little bit more irritable, a little bit more sensitive. You find that a need for comfort and rest starts to increase as you're gearing up for a rest period. This is autumn. So this is like when you're like little leaves on your beautiful woman body are falling off and you're just getting ready to prepare for winter. So it's like starting to put on your little, like the sweater of comfort for yourself during this, knowing that you're kind of prepping for your menstrual phase. Physically, this is where we need to be so kind to ourselves, women, because during your luteal phase, you are bloated, you are carrying water weight, you are tired, you are hungry. So be so for real with how nice you're being to yourself. Do not weigh yourself during your luteal phase. You're only going to be upset. You can gain up to like 5 pounds of water weight before your period.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and just the awareness of it too. Like usually during this phase is when I feel bloated. I bloat quite a bit. My clothes fit a little bit differently. And instead of being hard on myself, it just is what it is. I just dress differently.
Exactly.
Easy.
And don't, easy. Like, let's not berate ourselves in the mirror when we're trying to put on our smallest pair of jeans during this phase and they don't look good or they don't button. Mm-hmm. Throw those suckers on when you're ovulating and find yourself to be magically surprised and feel wonderful about yourself. But like, let's not take extra steps, beat ourselves up when we don't need to.
Exactly.
And listen to your body and be okay with what it's telling you during this phase when it comes to hunger. Because we as women need more calories during our luteal phase as we are preparing and storing for our menstrual cycle, which is when our body is going into work when it comes, or going into overdrive when it comes to all the work that it's putting in. So eat more calories. Mm-hmm. And be okay with that. And when it comes to nutrition, this is going to be fun for everyone, okay? This is your time to go a little nuts and eat all the things that society tells us is bad. They're not bad. There's no such thing as bad food. So the complex carbs, get in there. Have them all.
Every carb. All the carbs.
Dark chocolate. I know it is a meme on the internet and in all of the 90s rom-coms movies about women just chowing down on chocolate bars. That's mainly like when they have their period. But really, these dark chocolates, it's antioxidant-rich foods and magnesium-rich foods are going to be very helpful. So magnesium is known to help decrease pain as well and kind of like ease the ride into the menstrual cycle. So it's also a nice time if you take magnesium supplements, make sure you're not skipping the days leading up to your period. Also, again, if you're seeding, pumpkin seeds, these are your friend right here. And again, root veggies. So if you are ever in doubt, remember the seasons because they will help you kind of guide you on your path to nutrition. Root veggies, obviously, we're an autumn baby.
Right, right. And the reminder, too, of like in fall, you're prepping for winter. So yep. The idea of like you're trying to nourish your body to literally have fuel to be able to hibernate. So the idea of like, how are you fueling your body for this moment of rest that's about to happen?
Exactly. And again, I cannot stress this enough. When Lauren and I were going over the outline today of the episode, I was like, I want to talk about the luteal phase because I have just grown to love and embrace the luteal phase in a way that I never did before. And I think because it used to be like my biggest trigger and misunderstanding of my body.
Yeah.
Why am I suddenly 5 pounds heavier when I'm working out like crazy? Why am I so tired? Why am I so hungry? Like it's a me problem in so many ways. And then in understanding this, it's not a me problem. It is my body and its natural cycle of fluctuations, its hormones. It's natural. It's awesome. It's an excuse to eat more, to slow down, and to chill out on being an asshole to myself.
Totally. Right? Totally.
When it comes to movement, lower impact is better here. So this is when you're, again, like you're shifting gears. You're going like downhill right into our menstrual phase. So like it's not the time to be doing berries. It's not the time to be running marathons if you can avoid it. But like Pilates, barre, walking, slow move, like slow flow yoga, those kinds of things, like slow and low on the burner right now. Like you don't need to come to a complete stop like I like to during the menstrual phase. But like this is when you're just like you're gearing into rest.
Yeah. It's like if you can do low impact workouts or do anything that's steady.
Yes.
Those are really helpful for the body as we prep for it.
Hell yeah, baby. And then when it comes to work, finishing projects, tying up loose ends, creating space for the fact that you're, again, you're preparing, you're prepping for the menstrual phase and menstrual cycle. Again, we know that you can't necessarily plan all of your meetings around your menstrual phase unless you are an entrepreneur, or own your own business, or work in a fully woman-operated place. Bless you if you do. You're so lucky. But if you can, try to have this be like a wrap-up period for what you're working on before you go into like your full solo, your solo work ride in your menstrual phase.
Yeah.
Happy autumn.
Happy autumn.
Okay. Those are the four phases, baby.
There's four of them.
There's four of them, and there are beautiful, great things about each of the four. Like, I'm tired of people demonizing the menstrual phase. I'm tired of people demonizing the luteal phase. Like, they're all really, really great for different reasons if you know what's going on and how to optimize for each one of those.
Totally. And I think it's just a reminder, too, that we are such complex people, and especially as women, our bodies are going through so much all the time. And I know for me, understanding that our body was going through these four different phases gave me so much grace and understanding for why I'm feeling so drastically different from one day to another. So the amount of sort of like love it allowed me to be able to embrace myself with has been really major. And then also just the ability of like, oh, now that I'm aware of this, I can own it. I now have some power to be able to plan around knowing what to anticipate and what to expect when it comes to my body.
I love that so much. Both of the things that you just said, and especially when you said that it allows you to love yourself more, cycle syncing and understanding this has just like magnified my ability for self-love, self-love and self-compassion. I am so much nicer to myself with this baseline level of understanding about these phases and what they mean for my internal self and my external self. So if you take nothing else away from this, everyone, please just see this as an opportunity to give yourself more grace and more compassion and more love as you're going through your month. And we also know that there's so much you can dive into in cycle syncing. You can optimize your nutrition. You can optimize your workouts. You can seed cycle. You can figure like all of these things. It's a lot. I started really, really small. Mm-hmm. I started with my workouts. And that was the first thing that I started doing on a regular basis, and then started working in nutrition, and then started like looking at my work calendar. So pick one thing or one area that you feel comfortable and you feel like applying to yourself. And then you also feel like you can be a little bit more consistent with. Because I think when we try to do too much at one time, we're going to fail at all of it.
It's so true. And it shouldn't feel like an overwhelming task to take on.
Yes.
So I think that's a great point, is like find the thing that works for you. And it honestly just might be being aware. Like I think for me too, at first it was just being like, oh, I just know this is happening.
Entirely.
And then, right, to your point, you can like slowly start adding on these different things that can allow us to really optimize.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for listening again.
And I think what's just exciting is we'll keep talking about this.
Yes.
Like there's so much more to unpack with all of these different phases, and then so much more to unpack when it comes to optimizing. So this is kind of just the beginning when it comes to us talking about the different phases.
Yeah, we will keep talking about it. You can't stop us. We own these microphones. So
you have to rip them out of these stands.
Yeah, you have to rip them out of these stands, okay?
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
Later.